How many love the word? Yeah. Amen. I know you do. So we're going back to Acts 16. In the third session, speaking about empowered mission. Empowered mission. Mission is to the heart of God. I feel like that the Lord, I have always this picture regarding missions. Like he has his arms loaded full with all kinds of packages of whatever it is that you need to do missions. Whether it's strength or resources or wisdom or open doors. And he's, just look at that picture with me, okay, in your mind. And he's like, with all these packages, that you need it, you need it, you need it. What is it that you need? Here it is, here it is. Because it's so close to the heart of God. Amen? Well, when we think of the story that we talked about in the second session, I think of Lydia, whose heart was already prepared. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart, and just by ordering Paul's footsteps, he ran into her. I think of the little girl, the young girl that was so broken inside, taken advantage of. You know, these are the people that are people that represent people in our lives. Just like last night when we went to dinner and we met our waiter, he was so kind. From our conversation with him, we found out that he was born and raised in a traditional church, but he had visited a Pentecostal church, and he said he had been praying for God to help him find a church. Pastor Greg gave him all the information, and he said he's coming, and afterwards he said again he was coming about 5 times. So those are the people that we meet on the way, and you never know if God is orchestrating that situation, because I am so amazed how God sees one person. He saw that waiter and he put it in Pastor Greg's heart to go there. It's a great place, but I feel God saw that waiter, right? But I also feel that Lydia and the young girl not only represent those that are on our way, but also those that are out of the way. The nations, you know, God went through a whole lot to get Paul redirected to Greece, and Paul left his country and comforts to go to Greece and meet the people that were brought on his way. And the Assemblies of God has a real burden for the Buddhist world. And we ask you to pray for the Buddhist world on Mondays. You'll hear more about it, but I'm excited what God is doing there. The girls and Lydia represent the Arab world where our missionaries are from. They represent that. And they represent the nations of the world. And the Lord has called us to go. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are white for harvest. Amen? Amen. And so he calls us to go to our neighbor, to another nation, or he calls us to send. And Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas were first sent from Antioch. It said they prayed, they fasted, and they sent them. And we know this church is a missions church, and many people are here today, and we thank you for that. But God called us to go, empowered to go. He has empowered us to go. And when we look at ourselves, you may not believe it or not, but I was the most shyest person in the world. So the fact that God would call me to do the things I do, I mean, I did not even talk to people I knew, let alone people I don't know. So anyway, from that example, it shows God can use anybody, okay? That's what it means. But let's go back to the story. The girls and Lydia, the girl and Lydia represent in her household those that we meet, those that are in other nations. But then we see that there was pushback because when we take new territory, how many believe we have new territory to take for the kingdom? Amen. And I know the evil one has his program going on, but the Holy Spirit has his program going on, and we will overcome. So there was that pushback, and let's read it together in Acts 16, and it says that when the master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, are exceedingly troubling our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Let's stop here for 1 second, because God has empowered us to pray. We talked a little bit about that. I wanted to say pray and worship because that's what the scripture says, but according to Jesus and his word, worship and praise was always included in prayer. So, but God has empowered us to pray. You know, what I love about the scripture is that Paul and Silas did not know an earthquake was coming. But in the face of their beaten backs, their feet in stocks and in chains in the inner prison, and I tell you, in those days, they just kind of left you there, you know. They didn't know how long they were going to be there. But I kind of have this feeling when it says first that they prayed. Maybe, and it was at midnight, so it was after a while. Maybe they were praying kind of like, "God, our backs are hurting. It's so painful. Lord, we're in this dark prison. We wanted to build a church here, plant a church, but here we are. We know, God, that you are with us. Lord, thank you for setting that girl free, Lord. You're so great. Thank you, Lord, that you help us find those women that were already having a prayer meeting. Thank you, God. You're so good. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ. Thank you that the blood..." And they started just singing unto the Lord. Singing unto the Lord. There is something so beautiful about a follower of Jesus that is suffering but worshiping the Lord. You know, the in the world and many even believers, it's like if I'm not coming to church, why are you not coming to church? Well, I'm just disappointed, you know. God said this was going to happen and it didn't happen. These things happen a lot this day. We need you as leaders to be worshipers in the face of opposition and in the face of pain and in face. And you know what's so amazing about that? It lifts us. When Jerry and I were going through a dark time in ministry, that's really where I learned that kind of worship. And we were, it got us going, you know. it takes the empowerment of the Spirit sometimes to keep on going as a leader. And it's the, we are empowered to endure, actually. And I just don't want to waste my dark nights. How about you? You know, even if our whole life was a dark night, which in some nations, it's their life. I don't want to waste it. Jesus died for me, and I will be with him forever. How about you? And our young people need to see what that looks like. But you know what? It said that the prisoners were listening to them. They were listening to them. Our children, our grandchildren, the people in our church, they're watching. They're listening. And I feel that that place was transformed into a place of worship. They were listening. There's something so powerful about that. But they didn't know an earthquake was coming. They were just worshiping. And thank the Lord. Paul instructs us from another jail or prison and from Rome. He says, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And he said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. God's will. But there's something so lifting, isn't it? To worship him in the face of calamity, suffering, or difficulties. Something so beautiful. I never forget when we did a school outreach. The first year we did it, and we were allowed, it's a whole story, but I just want to make one point about it. And we gave out gifts to the children. And the first time we did it, we were allowed to do a little program. The first time we did it, there was such a tension in that place. Like depression, people were angry with each other. We wanted to talk to the crowd. They never calmed down. Honestly, it was so that the atmosphere was so tense. I was like leaving there beet red. I was just like, it was so tense in there. So our team and I prayed and we worshiped the Lord and we said, we are going to pray that God, his Holy Spirit, that that atmosphere will be changed next time we go there. The next year we went there, it was completely gone. I felt like I was walking in my own church. It was our territory. And I think that's so beautiful what happened in the prison with Paul and Silas. It became their territory. The enemy's territory became their territory. The darkness had to flee because of worship. I was talking to my sister and brother-in-law who pastored church in Holland, and they were saying that many people in their city are so bound, and she says, you know, there's so many people that they hear voices, and she's telling me this, not knowing what I'm speaking about. She goes, but we're convinced it's going to have to go because of worship, and that's what we're telling the people. I go, you're speaking my message. But it is so powerful, right? How many just are so thankful that we can still worship the Lord? And how powerful that is, right? So as they were worshiping, they were, the people, the prisoners were listening. It became just a place, oh, so filled with the presence of the Lord. And then all of a sudden, it says that there was an earthquake. All of a sudden, there was an earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Suddenly. And God just put in my heart that there may be a leader here. There is a leader here. And you feel kind of like your back has been beaten and pushed back. Maybe it's something has to do with your family or children, maybe in ministry. but it's something that God, as we worship him, praise the Lord, he comes and he breaks the chain in the name of the Lord. And those chains were broken, the bonds were loosed, and the doors were open. Praise God. Now, I've always been amazed that when those doors were opened, the bond, it says all chains, all bonds, all doors. I have always been amazed, and if you preached on it, probably you caught that, that the prisoners did not flee. Like, I've always been so amazed by it. It's because when the jailer wanted to kill himself, Paul cried out and said, "We're all here." So I don't know if Paul was able to encourage them not to run. But I truly believe that these prisoners were so moved by that worship and that prayer, they chose rather to stay in the presence of God than go on their own and run away through the open door. And I find that amazing. Maybe be so filled with the presence of God that it will draw people to us that are bound and hurt and wounded so that they can be set free inside. Amen? But truthfully, as much as I was always amazed about that, really, what the Lord really spoke to me about was that Paul and Silas did not run. How about that? You know, they prayed, they worshiped, they were treated unjustly, they were sitting in that prison unjustly, beaten. They were there to plant a church, to do God's work. They prayed and worshiped. God removed all the obstacles. The doors are opened. And they did not run. They did not run. Why did they not run? I believe they did not run because they knew, Paul knew, if they ran, that prison guard would be executed and his soul would be lost. And Paul cared more about the lost soul of this prison guard than about his own comfort. And that is giving. We are empowered to give. We are empowered to give. You know what I think is so beautiful and so amazing too? I think it's so amazing that they did not run, but that was their immediate response. I had to check my heart on that. That was their immediate response. You know, sometimes my first response is not thinking, is not that I don't think about my own comfort. But their immediate response was to stay because they thought of that prison guard. Their immediate response, and it made me have to check my heart. Lord, what is my immediate response to the nations? What is my response, Lord, to the lost people, Lord? Do I live to live for myself, or do I live for your kingdom? Because the Lord spoke to Abraham that he was blessed. I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. We're on this earth blessed so we can be a blessing. Amen? And so they didn't run. I don't know if you've ever been in a time, but I have, that you felt like running because of something you were going through, of the place where you were. In the beginning of when we planted our church, truly, it was all a war. I think the enemy wanted to kill the infant church in its, you know, in its beginning stages. It was truly all out war. I remember coming home one time in Holland and saying to my brother, is that how it is when you are lead pastors from a new church? It's like a war always. He goes, no, Esther, it will change. But it was all a war. It was, you know, leaders turning against the church and the leadership. It was our daughter being diagnosed with cancer of the lymph nodes at the same time. It was our marriage on the fire. And for some season, I just couldn't hear from God. I am telling you, it was hard. And not in comparison of other people, but for us at the time. But God has been so faithful, I can speak about his faithfulness. But in that time, I just wanted to run. I wanted to run. And I literally started thinking where I could run to. Like, literally making a plan in my mind. But one day I opened up the Bible in Jeremiah and it said, why are you speaking of running? Stop speaking of running. Something like that. So, okay, Lord, I got it. Don't you love it how personal God is? You know, and at that time, we had a few ladies that were in prayer with us, and we called them the SWAT team. And every time something else rose up, we got together with those ladies and prayed with them and just broke through. And, you know, sometimes it just takes the empowerment of the Spirit not to run, but to stay. And God, he empowers us. He enables us. And at that time, I did not see the future. Thank God by his mercy that I didn't run. Because today, 25 years later, my son, Jared, is the lead pastor with his wife. And who knows what God has for you? When you allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to work through those dark seasons and to trust God and to allow him to use it to work in our lives. You know, this shows also such a picture of the gospel. So beautiful, a picture of the gospel. Well, before I say that, let's see what happened with the jailer. And it says, the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took then the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Whew! How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? So Paul and Silas did not run. They thought more of the jailer than they thought of their own comfort. But what a beautiful picture of the gospel. Because every obstacle was removed. The doors were opened. The stocks were loosed. The chains fell to the ground. And so it is with us in the light of the gospel, that God opened the door to him, to the Father, to heaven, because he removed every obstacle out of the way. Can we just give the Lord just a thanks? Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In the same way, every obstacle in the prison was removed, right? Feet loosed, doors opened, chains fell to the ground. Every obstacle removed for an open door. But it was not an open door right then for Paul and Silas. It was an open door for the prison guard to Jesus. I find that so incredible. And that is the empowerment of giving. That whatever we have been blessed with, they were blessed with an open door. If they would have come back to the church in Antioch and told the story, you know, they beat us up, God did great things, but we were in the prison and we worshiped and we prayed and God removed every obstacle and we went out and probably everybody would have said, praise the Lord. But that's not the story they had. What is your story? What is my story? The story was God removed every obstacle out of the way to provide an open door to Jesus for the prison guard and his family. That was the story they had. Because they were willing to be empowered to give, and that was their immediate response. I was so examining my heart to pray, oh Lord, protect me from the things that you have blessed me with, that I may use it for your glory, oh Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom, oh God. And the prison guard, he fell on his knees as we read it, and he repented, and he came to the Lord, and he was baptized, and he and his entire household. How amazing is that? And then he called them in, and he gave them a meal, and he washed the stripes of his back. And I have to say that this morning my daughter, Rochelle, left me a little prayer. As a recording, she is in Romania as a missionary. She left me a little recording, and she knew that I'm speaking on this story, and she's been herself in this story. And she was praying, and she said, oh Lord, I pray that those people that are in the ways of you that maybe have caused pain or affliction or abuse may be the very ones, Lord, that will be used to wash your stripes. And I think, praise you, God. There was true repentance because he had assisted those that afflicted Paul and Silas to put them their feet in stock and their hands and arms in chains, and he had assisted them, but now he was washing their stripes. And that gives me faith for those maybe that, you know, kind of like Paul was annoyed with the girl, and those that are in our path that maybe cause pain and cause affliction, as we pray for them and as we seek the leading of the Holy Spirit, and our response is not from the flesh, but our response is from the Spirit, as it was with Paul and Silas, that they will be the very ones that bow their knees for Jesus and come to repentance, hallelujah, and they will be the ones to make it right and to wash the stripes. Oh, praise God. God has a mighty plan for the church, and that is and the mighty plan, empowered plan for missions in the church and through the church, that we might live for his glory, that he empowers us to pray, to worship him, to go, that he empowers us to give, and that he empowers us to finish strong. Amen. To finish strong. Amen? I believe God has called the church to finish strong. Hallelujah. You know, I always think about Jesus coming, that I don't want the Lord to come and nobody notice that we're even gone. How about you? I want people to know we're gone. I want to go out with a bang. So praise God, we're empowered by his Spirit. And you know, maybe sometimes we say, oh, that is so amazing of Paul and Silas. So amazing that they didn't run. So amazing that they didn't take that for themselves. But that is the heart of Christ. Do you think that maybe their immediate response, the way they responded to think of God's mission and God's heart, was because they just spent time in prayer and worship? So their mind was set on the Lord, and they had become so Christ-centered, Christ-sensitive, focused, they could not help, but their immediate response was for the last prison keeper and his family. And there's those all around us, and there are those in other nations. And oh, yes, as we go back to the first session, the enemy wants, it's okay with him if we keep just busy, even if it is good things. But he wants us to miss the heart of God. But I believe we are in such a time as this, that through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, God will enable us to finish strong. And when we look back, when Paul and Silas looked back, they must have said, oh, glory to God. We didn't have it within us because we were hurting really bad. But we were just worshiping the Lord, and God brought an earthquake. Can you believe it? God brought an earthquake. But the earthquake was not for us, Paul and Silas must have said. The earthquake was to open the door for the jailer to come to Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The miracles that God has done by his Spirit in the book of Acts, they are for today. And I want to be part of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. We want to finish strong. Hallelujah. Paul said, in Acts, he said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And then he even says, I am not innocent of the blood of all men. Lord, help us to finish strong. To not count our life dear. Let us lift our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the leading of your Spirit, Lord. I thank you that you empower us to go. You empower us to send. You empower us to pray and worship, to give, oh Lord, to finish strong. Thank you, Lord. Oh Lord, we are reminded it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for a mountain that is standing in the way of my brother and sister. We speak to the mountain, be moved, become level ground, and we shout grace, grace, grace to the mountain. Lord, I pray for those that sense they are going through that hard time, or Lord, it is just the empowerment of persevering, oh God, for them. Lord, I thank you for a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit right now. Lord, blow it over them, oh God. And Lord, we just want to worship you, Lord. We want to worship you, Lord. We want to worship you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, when we lift you up, Lord, all enemies will be scattered in the name of Jesus. All enemies will be scattered, hallelujah. We lift you up, Lord Jesus. We lift you up, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 And Lord, when we are God-focused and not self-focused, Lord, to you be all the glory, because if it's by your Spirit, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord. Receive glory through your church. Receive glory through our lives. Receive glory through the mission that is standing before us, Lord. Lord, we pray for the young slave girls that are in the Arab world that our missionaries represent. Prepare their hearts, God, to receive the gospel. May their hearts be open, Lord. I worship you, I praise you, Lord. To God be the glory, the honor, and the praise. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord.